Welcome on in on this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. We're at September 4th already, the NFL season. Getting ready to get underway. Thursday night football tomorrow, Baltimore Ravens at Kansas City Chiefs, 7 o'clock. You can hear that, of course, right here on WWL and the Odyssey app, your home for Saints, LSU, NFL, and now the Pelicans as well, getting ready for training camp soon enough for the Birds. Getting ready to Saints Sundays. We got the Carolina Panthers coming into town. Going to get into some audio we have of head coach Dennis Allen, who spoke today. Also get into a little of what quarterback Derek Carr had to say in the locker room. And brand new offense for this Saints squad, ready to be unveiled. I know we saw a little taste of it, obviously, in the preseason, but everyone talks about how you're not displaying your full arsenal. You know, it's a very vanilla offense. Your full scheme isn't out there for folks to see. Well, it's going to be unloaded this Sunday, so we'll get a much better gauge of what this Clint Kubiak system has in store for the black and gold. And I think everybody is really excited to see what's in store. Those Sean Payton / Pete Carmichael years provided some big-time exciting moments, obviously a Super Bowl as well, but the last couple of years of definitely Carmichael sticking around and running things were not as exciting. It seemed very stale and just needed a breath of life. We'll hear some, like I said, some audio from head coach Dennis Allen, even equating to Sunday and this offense being unveiled, kind of like Christmas Day, where it's, you know, can't wait to open the package and see what it has in store. Coming up after the first break, we'll talk to Shakuri Wright, Hub of Champions podcast on the Believe Network, get a little NFL season preview there. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, talk with Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer Jeff Nowak, who has the latest and greatest on the Saints injury front and also what happened today at Saints practice. Went a little over the Saints injury rundown during triple option. If you didn't hear, Pete Werner was a full go but is listed with a shoulder injury, the Saints linebacker. Also linebacker Willie Gay, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, and guard Nick Saldiveri on the practice report as limited participants in practice. And then not practicing at all for the black and gold, you had rookie linebacker Jalen Ford with a hamstring. Tight end Dallin Holker has an ankle issue. Linebacker DeMarco Jackson and defensive tackle Colin Saunders each have a calf issue with the black and gold. They are not practicing so far. We'll get obviously another update tomorrow, and then the final injury report will come on Friday with game statuses for everybody. Mike D mentioned it too, that last segment going into this hour about the Carolina Panthers injury front. They're dealing with two tight ends that didn't practice. Ian Thomas, Tommy Tremble, both dealing with injuries. So the tight end issue, a big question mark for the Carolina Panthers, and then limited for the Kitty Cats. You had USA Ninjman, has a tibia issue, limited, and then with a finger issue, running back Miles Sanders. And man, oh man, he had a big down season last year after getting some big bucks from the Panthers coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles. Interested to see how he rebounds this year, but definitely for him, you know, you look at that running back group for the Panthers, and Chuba Hubbard is basically their main guy now going into the season. For the Carolina Panthers rushing attack, you look at also he had a career high in scrimmage yards, 902 rushing, 233 receiving last year, and had 5 rushing touchdowns in 23. But man, this Carolina Panthers team is expected to rebound in a massive way this season with year 2 under Bryce Young. It was just abysmal from him, and I know you heard from Jake Delhomme earlier on with Mike Dettillier, as well as the poor guy was just getting sacked a ton. He had the second most in the NFL last season and was just getting abused, tossed around everywhere. I want to hear from you folks as this black and gold squad gets ready to take on Carolina on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. I know Jimmy and Gretna, you've been hanging on, and I see ticket prices for the black and gold pretty cheap to get in the door for a season opener. How you doing, Jimmy?
Doing good. A couple things before I get to that, Steve. Number one, everybody hang in there with this weather. Hopefully the weather clears out. I'm really interested this weekend in this Tulane football game hosting Kansas State. Yeah. They're 17th in the nation. It's at 11 o'clock. I'm pretty sure they put it at 11 o'clock because of national TV. So a great opportunity for Tulane football. I just like good football. I went to Southern Miss. My wife's LSU. But this game is going to be great because Tulane beat them 2 years ago at their place. Kansas State's coming back. They want payback. But that's Saturday at 11. And look, John Emery, again, as a fan of football, I hate to see it for the guy. He was supposed to be the next Leonard Fournette, or at least talent-wise, he was supposed to be the guy. He was the five-star everything, and he tears his ACL again.
Right.
He's had so many. He had a great game the other night against USC for LSU, and I hate to see it for the guy. Who knows? That might be it. Kind of like the Miles Brennan effect. But, yeah, back to your Saints tickets. I told the guy doing the phone call screenings. Yeah, Cullen. Basically that this is the cheapest I've seen an opening game regular season at the Superdome, definitely since Sean Payton left and the Drew Brees era, really probably for the last 20 years. Tickets are ranging from $11 to $20 just to get into the game. This is for the opener, Steve. Right. And I know it's Carolina. And I told him, yes, the Denver Broncos game here, the Eagles game here, Eagles fans travel. They're going to buy up tickets. Those tickets will be expensive. But my question to you is, do you think the cheap – I mean, look, there's going to be some empty seats. I'm not saying it's not going to be 55, 60K maybe. I'm expecting 10,000 to 15,000 empty seats, and that's surprising for an opener. I base that on the price, though, because if tickets are 11 bucks, that tells me demand's not that high. My question to you is this. Do you think that's fans saying, you know what, I'm not about Derek Carr, I'm not a big fan of Dennis Allen, and I will not attend games or buy season tickets anymore until, A, either something changes, or obviously if we're winning, winning cures all. Or do you think it's just inflation, people are broke, or what, or maybe all the above? What do you think's leading to these cheap ticket prices? Because, again, it's going to be a good crowd Sunday, Steve, but there's going to be some empty seats. So why do you think that's the case?
No, I'm with you, Jimmy. I think it's a little bit of a both. It's people are disappointed in this Saints squad and what they've seen from, you know, Dennis Allen. There's been a lot of angst towards him, the quarterback as well, and Derek Carr. I think they're tied together with that all that anger that people get. I really don't understand with Carr. He had a decent season last year, battled through some injuries, and really closed out the season strong. So hoping that this team can come out and build on that, obviously with a new offensive scheme that Clint Kubiak has. But I think the state of the economy and obviously with folks' pocketbooks has a lot to do with it as well. And, you know, we all complain about the grocery prices right now, and when it's hard to keep a family fed, you know, ticket prices along with parking and then concessions at games can be taxing on families. But I'm sure that things will hopefully at least pick up going into Sunday's game. I definitely don't want to see any of that Carolina blue in the stands. I don't think that Carolina fans travel too well, and it shouldn't impact the Superdome that much. But you're damn right about Philadelphia Eagles. If those tickets are out there on the market, Philly fans will travel, and you'll end up seeing a whole green takeover in the Superdome like we did with that Detroit Lions game. That was pretty disgusting for any Saints fans or anyone supporting the team to see. Hopefully things can pick up, though. Obviously, winning can cure all, and the Saints win a season opener against Carolina, convincing fashion. The offense puts on a good show. Defense gets a few takeaways, some sack numbers on there, kind of generating that excitement for people. Things will be a lot different going into that Week 3 matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Caesar Superdome. But, yeah, I'm not surprised by the opponent. Yeah, you can make that excuse, but to me, yeah, you mentioned it, Jimmy. It's a season opener. It's a start of the NFL season that everybody's excited about. There should be that excitement going into the Caesar Superdome. And, man, oh, man, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe folks see that right now you're getting a steal, $11 to get into a NFL regular season game. This ain't the preseason more. It's the real deal. And you've got a black and gold squad that's certainly a contender for the NFC South. I know nobody has picked them as the favorite to win the division, but when you look at the matchup against the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you really can't tell me that the Saints aren't in that number and right there with them as a legit playoff contender and a threat to win the division. I still consider Tampa Bay that number one deal behind, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, who everyone seems to be blowing up and glowing over after the addition of a Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Yes, they have some weapons. Yes, they beefed up their defense some, but I just don't think Kirk is that guy that can, you know, push you over the edge. He's not going to be a difference maker. Sure, it might improve their win total a little bit, but I don't think a 10-11 win season is just a given for the Atlanta Falcons. They still got a ton of questions too, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, they have a lot of hope going into this season. I think their Mercedes Stadium is sold out for the year for the first time in forever. So, you know, that fan excitement is there for the Atlanta Falcons. But really curious to me that no one is really talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get into some NFC South talk as well as the rest of the NFC, AFC, with our little bit of our NFL season preview after the break. Going to come back with Shakuri Wright, Hub of Champions podcast host on the Believe Network right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk, the second half going until 8 p.m. this evening. Steve Geller along with Cullen Steele bringing you all the way. Happy to welcome in now Shakuri Wright, Hub of Champions podcast on the Believe Network. How's it going, man?
Good afternoon, man. How's everybody doing today? Now that we're 24 hours away
yes,
from
indeed.
The start of the 2024 NFL season, like seriously, I'm fired up, man. Let's go. How are you guys doing?
We are definitely fired up too, man. We, you know, Saints fans around here have been clamoring. Can't wait for the start of things to kick off. A lot of question marks for the black and gold, but I think there's a lot of question marks for other teams around this league as well. When you look at the NFC South, though, Shukri, what's your take? I know the Atlanta Falcons, everybody seems to be their betting favorite right now to win the division, but is really Kirk Cousins that much of a difference maker for them?
That's a great question, and the reason why I say that is because, like, the NFC South was just so putrid last season that I go into this season and I say, well, if there's a team that I really would feel a lot more comfortable banking my hat on, it's still the Buccaneers.
I'm with you, right?
I still think it's the Bucs because – right now, if you're telling me that you're having faith in the Carolina Panthers and their program and what they're doing with Bryce Young, I have a can of corn to sell you. Like, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that Kirk Cousins is going to be the biggest difference maker for the Atlanta Falcons, for them to potentially win the division, I'm sorry, Raheem Morris. I got bad news for you. Kirk Cousins, you're about to find out the hard way, is as good as a 1999 Oldsmobile. That's all he is, and that's all he's been throughout his career. Good enough to get to the playoffs, but not enough to get you over the hump. So if I'm looking at the Falcons, Saints, Panthers, and the Buccaneers in the division right now going into the season, I still think it's the Buccaneers' division to lose. I still like Baker Mayfield, especially after the year that he had last season, to still come on top in the NFC South.
Yeah, sadly, we've seen Tampa Bay on top of the division for back-to-back-to-back seasons now, and hoping it's not a fourth straight year. But, yeah, for me, they would be the betting favorite for the division going into this season. Another lot of hype talk around this year going into the season in the NFC is around those Chicago Bears. Everybody, you know, hyped about Caleb Williams and some of the additions they've made to that offense as well. And while I think that the Bears should be and will be improved this year, I'm not so sold on them being a playoff contender just yet.
I don't think anybody should. I think anybody that has this belief that the Bears are going to be playoff contenders in the NFC, they pretty much are being sold a book of lies. And I'm sorry. Like, listen, I like Caleb Williams. I like the talent that he brings forth. Right now, if you tell me that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback that the Bears have ever had probably since the 1980s, yes, even better than Jay Cutler, I believe you. I wouldn't be upset with that statement at all. But this is a team, this is a franchise and an organization that has been in a rebuild now. They finally, what they hope to have is their quarterback. But I just think that they still have so many other areas that they need to address, that they need to absolutely make sure that they're going to be okay and making sure that they're going to be able to contend. I like what Caleb Williams is going to be able to do ultimately as a quarterback. I like DJ Moore a lot at the receiver position, but the reality is this. the Bears are still in the NFC North, that I still believe it is the Detroit Lions or the Green Bay Packers division to win. The Bears, they're not even close to being on the same talent level that the Detroit Lions are currently are at, and as well as the Green Bay Packers, which is why I say the Bears, I don't see them being a playoff team this year.
I'm right with you, Shukri, and I know you're in New England Patriots country, right?
Currently, yeah, I have been in New England for quite some time, but I'm right exactly this moment, I'm in Philadelphia, in the heart of Eagles Nation, unfortunately.
I got you. Looking at those New England Patriots, what's your take of this whole rebuild mode now for the Pats? You know, obviously the Bill Belichick era is over. Tom Brady's long gone. What is the feeling with that fan base there right now as they go through this rebuild?
That's a great question. Well, right now, they're expecting that this team would at least be somewhat competitive. Last year was such a train wreck for the New England Patriots as an organization, as a team in Belichick's final season as head coach there, that this year it was almost as if this organization was given a hungry lion a cracker to eat. Basically, you gave a starving animal like a little crumb. And that's what Patriots did. They drafted the quarterback, what they hope will be their franchise quarterback in Drake May. But I'm still critical of the front office and Elliot Wolf asking, why didn't you do more to invest in the offensive line? And like, if you're going to draft a quarterback, I'm not saying go out in free agency and spend all your money on offensive linemen. No, but you got to have at least something that is at least somewhat representable. There's a reason why Jacoby Brissett was brought to New England to start. He's 18-30 as a starter, but at the same time, they knew that if they put Drake May under center on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, that he will be basically out to lunch, no pun intended.
Right.
So it's almost as if that you say, hey, you know what? We're going to bring Jacoby Brissett. We know our offensive line is putrid. That's exactly what it is. Then we're going to have to do what we can, at least for the time being. But I think the feeling overall is that, yes, this is a rebuild, but there are some areas I feel like the Patriots could have and should have addressed just a bit more.
You mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles, so I'm going to jump back to the NFC and the NFC East. What's the feeling there right now just with, I know it seems like with the head coach Nick Sirianni, I've heard everything from, oh, the Eagles will go back to the Super Bowl this year to, oh my goodness, he could be the first coach ending up fired in this season, depending how things go. Obviously, last year, unbelievable collapse by the team, but what's the general feeling around the Eagles right now?
That's a phenomenal question because, like, the Philadelphia Eagles right now, they are the most eyed team in the league right now, meaning that all eyes are on Philadelphia. This is a monstrous year for the Philadelphia organization from top to bottom. Howie Roseman on the hot seat. Don't forget about him now. Nick Sirianni on the hot seat, as well as Jalen Hurts, which is really hard to believe because just 2 years ago, Jalen Hurts was the guy who just led the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl where they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, they started off 10-1. Everything's going well. But there were still some signs early on in the season that there were some cracks in the foundation. Their secondary was a problem and not in a good way. And they finally fell apart in the second half of that game against the San Francisco 49ers in the rematch of the 2022 NFC title game at the Link. So right now, the feeling around the Eagles is, can they get off to a good start? That's going to be the key. Because when you look at just the first three games alone, I think they are going to have their test in terms of, can they handle early season adversity? They got the Packers on Friday night in Brazil.
Right.
And then they come home for the official home opener against the Atlanta Falcons on Monday, September 16th. And they also have that the road game on week three against the Saints in New Orleans, no less. So I do think that the Eagles, there's definitely going to be a great deal of pressure on this team and as well as just overall expectations because the NFC East and especially the NFC is going to be loaded this year.
Obviously, yeah, looking forward to Baltimore, Kansas City tomorrow, kicking off the season Thursday Night Football. But you mentioned right there that Friday game, Green Bay, Philadelphia in Brazil. What do you make of all the madness going, though, on in São Paulo? Supposedly they've told players now they don't want them leaving their hotel rooms because of the crime and, the nastiness in the area. It just seems ridiculous. The NFL's even going there.
I'm actually surprised that they're even going to Brazil out of all countries. The reason, because of the concerns surrounding the crimes. And personally, the way I look at it is this. The NFL has been a multi-billion dollar cash cow. They'll play a game anywhere in the world, including, let's say, for example, Germany, which they've been doing, and people will still travel. They'll still fly. And for them to tell players and the teams that, hey, stay at your hotels, you can't go out into the streets and socialize or anything like that, to me, it takes away from what's supposed to be a very special trip to Brazil. This is the first ever NFL game being played in that country. So to me, I just feel as if because the NFL had to go to such lengths to tell teams to stay at their hotels, that it kind of waters down the experience just a little bit because you're not able to explore except the four walls in their hotels, respectively.
Yeah, just wild you hear, too, that's like, oh, you pick two green teams and they don't want them wearing green because of gang colors.
Oh, it was just crazy.
I saw Philadelphia at least is wearing black and white for the game.
yeah. Like I don't think the uniforms look bad, but I just right. think that if the Eagles are going to like change their colors for one game, black and white, sure, but it's still tough though. It's I'm still excited for the game, but it's really like tough in terms of just the overall optics and just making sure everything runs smoothly and safely for both teams.
Shukri Wrights, host of the Champions Podcast on the Believe Network. Definitely enjoyed talking ball with you and hopefully get around to meeting up with you soon. You can follow him at Shukri Wrights on Twitter as well. Thank you for the time, man.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it. Football is back, folks. And like I said, tomorrow night right here on WWL, 7 o'clock start on WWL and the Odyssey at Baltimore Ravens at Kansas City Chiefs. Could that be a preview of the AFC Championship game? We shall see how that ends up panning out. Also want to hear from head coach Dennis Allen when we get back from the break, so stay tuned right here on WWL right after the break. Back here on Sports Talk, of course, we are talking Saints, and how would you like to win tickets to a Saints game? WWL's got them for you. We want to send you to the ultimate game day experience on Sunday when the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers in the first regular season home game in the Caesars Superdome. You can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're taking talking open bar, premium liquor, and all the you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Just go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win from Saints Radio, WWL. You know, that's one thing, Cullen, because of all the game day, the pregame stuff, and, you know, we're all on air constantly. I've never gotten to experience what a pregame in Champion Square is like.
Really?
Have you been out there at all?
God, dude, I think the last time I went to a Saints game, I was like 9.
Oh, wow,
maybe.
Really?
Yeah. I lived in Alabama. We drove down for like a weekend and just went to the game.
Man, we got to get you to some Saints games.
It's been a while. You know what's even worse? Claim to fame, I've never been to an LSU game. I've been to an Auburn game.
Interesting. All right, so I'm going to have to scratch that off your list.
I will need to.
Take you to Tiger Stadium and then also get you back in the Dome this year for sure. Looking at some of the sound we want to get into from head coach Dennis Allen of the Black and Gold, talk to the media today. One of the questions he was asked, obviously, with the Panthers upon us on Sunday, what did this Panthers 2024 squad look like to him?
Look, I think, you know, from an offensive standpoint, you know, I thought they kind of beefed up their offensive line. They got probably bigger on the interior than maybe what they've been in prior years. I think they've had two pretty good tackles that have been there the last couple of years. But I think they upgraded the interior of their offensive line at the guard position. You know, they got a little bit more athleticism, you know, at the tight end position with, you know, drafting Sanders. You know, Tommy Trimble's a guy that we've played against. Jordan Matthews, you know, really kind of a converted wide receiver. So I think they've upgraded the athleticism at that position. And then they got a couple of young receivers. One that Leggett was a draft pick this year and Mingo a draft pick last year. Both of them high picks. Thielen is the ultimate professional in terms of a receiver. And then I think they, you know, added an explosive playmaker in Deontay Johnson. So I think they've done some things offensively to really, you know, upgrade their team and trying to, you know, put some weapons around Bryce Young, help with the, you know, the protection and the ability to run the football, which always helps out a quarterback. You know, and then, you know, defensively, obviously with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, that's a big difference. A'shaun Robinson, you know, a defensive end tackle that we've played against is a good football player. So I think they've done some things, you know, along the defensive line, I think, to upgrade themselves. I think in particular, I think they've done some things to upgrade themselves with Clowney as a pass rusher and A'shaun as a run defender.
Yeah, you would imagine this Panthers squad is not going to be a two-win team this season. We'll see how it shakes out for them, but I would expect some improvement. I think a 7-win year would be a great, vast improvement, and the fan base would be super excited over that. Got a lot of new faces on that team, including the coaching staff. And Dennis Allen was asked, hey, man, what the difficulty on facing a team, not only with new players on the field, but also new coaches?
I think it's a challenge. Obviously, from a defensive standpoint, the defensive staff is there, and so you kind of know what the structure is going to be. And yet, they got a couple of new pieces, so we don't know what adjustments they're going to make or what's going to be different than maybe what we saw last year. Really, the same thing offensively. You know, we had a chance to go up against Canales a couple of times last year, and so I think from a schematic standpoint, we have an idea of kind of what they, what the system is like. And yet with a different quarterback, I don't know, how they're going to, want to utilize him. I have my thoughts, but, again, as it is with everything, when you get into the first game of the season, I just think it's the team that's able to adjust the best that's going to have the most success, because, everybody's going to have something that you haven't seen yet. And so I think that'll be the challenge for us is finding out what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack us in all three phases, and then being able to adjust when we need to.
That's a look at the Carolina Panthers as the Saints get ready for them on Sunday. Now we're going to talk more about the black and gold with the head coach. So how's D.A. feeling about his defensive scheme since he started out? Has much changed in his defensive outlook since he first came into the league?
I'd say it's evolved significantly from, when I started calling it back in 2015. But that evolution doesn't take place over the course of, a year or 2 years. It really kind of takes place over the course of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and things kind of change. And you can't become stagnant in anything that you do. You have to always be looking to improve. And so there's always things that we're looking at how maybe we can do, some things better. I would say philosophically, nothing's changed. Schematically, a few things.
Looking at that defense from just last year, scoring defense, 19.3 points per game. That definitely was a strength of the black and gold. The weakness was lack of sack numbers, and we've seen them address that by adding, to that D line. And I think that, Carl Granderson is, been a player we've seen growing steadily while with this organization. Hopefully Cam Jordan can get back to being the guy that we're used to seeing, and that Father Time hasn't caught up to him, and he's still got another season or two left where those sack numbers can get back up. But I know a lot of folks obviously looking forward to seeing what Chase Young can provide, a guy that's been, a little bit nicked up during his career, which has hampered his development. But man, oh man, like the Cajun Cannon loves to say, when he's well, he is hell on the field. And definitely looking forward to, seeing what Young can bring to this pass rush. We obviously saw a little taste of him in the preseason, but that's not the real deal, which will be Sunday, obviously, against Carolina. Well, Dennis Allen, more on his defense. How would he describe a Dennis Allen defense to somebody?
We're going to play hard. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. We're not into the business of gimmies. So we're going to try to challenge everything as much as we can, and we're going to play smart, and I think we've done that. And we're not always perfect. There's sometimes we do a better job of it than others. And that's why, the evaluation process of what you are, whether as a player, as a coach, as a unit, it's not a one game evaluation. It's what are you over the course of the season, and then what are you over the course of your, you know, career. And I think just the fact that we're gonna play tough, we're gonna play physical, we're gonna play with great effort, and we're gonna challenge everything, and we're gonna play situationally smart defense, and that's what we believe in.
That's one thing nobody can argue about. Whatever you feel like about Dennis Allen, the guy knows defense. Obviously, I know that regular season record of his is brought up constantly by Saints fans, 24-46 overall. That obviously includes his head coaching stint with the Raiders. Coming here, though, we've seen gradual improvement for this squad. And I know we're all spoiled by the Sean Payton years and the consistent playoff berths. Obviously, there was some downtime, those back-to-back-to-back 7-9 seasons under Sean. But, you know, now we've been starved of the playoffs the last 3 years for this black and gold squad and trying to get back there. And hopefully DA can get that ascent. We've seen a 7-win season for him year one, 9 wins last year, so a gradual improvement. I'm sure everybody would be jumping for joy over 10 wins, winning the NFC South and heading to the playoffs, and hopefully, you know, making some noise there. But anything less than a 9-win season would make folks happy. It's a difficult slate later on. We've gotten into the schedule before. Obviously, Panthers, you would think, is a must win for this team to prove that you are a different squad than you were a year ago. You're not a pretender in everybody's eyes. I know not that many people are thinking much of this Saints squad heading into this season, but after that Panthers game, things get tight. You got to play the Cowboys, the Eagles, another division rival, and the Falcons. Then you go at the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night and then come back home for the Buccaneers. So that early slate of games, you know, you could easily see themselves digging a hole into, which would be so, you know, disappointing, obviously. But, you know, digging your way out, we've seen them do it before. You just don't want to go through it again. Hoping they can get off to that faster start. And that faster start includes in games. We've seen this team come out the gates, and it just seems offensively and defensively haven't had that punch to them early on in starts. Hear the music playing me out, so we'll take a break, get more on the 6 o'clock hour as we close things out here, as we get ready to talk to Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, in the 7 o'clock hour. But we'll be back with more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking about Saints versus Carolina Panthers Sunday in the Caesars Superdome. Well, game days here on WWL start early, 8 a.m. First up is First Take with me and Jeff Nowak while you fuel up for the game. Then at 10 o'clock, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert inside the dome, Loge Level, Gate B Atrium. That's presented by our good buddy Craig at Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Kickoff high noon with Deuce McAllister. Mike, back here on Sports Talk, of course, we are talking Saints. And how would you like to win tickets to a Saints game? WWL's got them for you. We want to send you to the ultimate game day experience on Sunday when the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers in the first regular season home game in the Caesars Superdome. You can score 2 premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're taking talking open bar, premium liquor, and all the you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Just go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win from Saints Radio WWL. You know, that's one thing, Cullen, because of all the game day, the pregame stuff, and, you know, we're all on air constantly. I've never gotten to experience what a pregame in Champion Square is like.
Really?
Have you been out there at all?
God, dude, I think the last time I went to a Saints game, I was like 9.
Oh, wow,
maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I lived in Alabama. We drove down for like a weekend and just went to the game.
Man, we got to get you to some Saints games.
It's been a while. Hey, you know what's even worse? Claim to fame, I've never been to an LSU game. I've been to an Auburn game.
Interesting. All right, so I'm going to have to scratch that off your list.
I will need to.
Take you to Tiger Stadium and then also get you back in the dome this year for sure. Looking at some of the sound we want to get into from head coach Dennis Allen of the Black and Gold, talk to the media today. One of the questions he was asked, obviously, with the Panthers upon us on Sunday, what did this Panthers 2024 squad look like to him?
Look, I think, you know, from an offensive standpoint, you know, I thought they kind of beefed up their offensive line. They got probably bigger on the interior than maybe what they've been in prior years. I think they've had two pretty good tackles that have been there the last couple of years, but I think they upgraded the interior of their offensive line at the guard position. You know, they got a little bit more athleticism, you know, at the tight end position with, you know, drafting Sanders. You know, Tommy Trimble's a guy that we've played against. Jordan Matthews, you know, really kind of a converted wide receiver. So I think they've upgraded the athleticism at that position. And then they got a couple of young receivers. One that Leggett was a draft pick this year, and Mingo a draft pick last year. Both of them high picks. Thielen is the ultimate professional in terms of a receiver. And then I think they, you know, added an explosive playmaker in Deontay Johnson. So I think they've done some things offensively to really, you know, upgrade their team and trying to, you know, put some weapons around Bryce Young, help with the, you know, the protection and the ability to run the football, which always helps out a quarterback. You know, and then, you know, defensively, obviously with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, that's a big difference. A'shaun Robinson, you know, a defensive end tackle that we've played against is a good football player. So I think they've done some things, you know, along the defensive line, I think, to upgrade themselves. I think in particular, I think they've done some things to upgrade themselves with Clowney as a pass rusher and A'shaun as a run defender.
Yeah, you would imagine this Panthers squad is not going to be a two-win team this season. We'll see how it shakes out for them, but I would expect some improvement. I think a 7-win year would be a great, vast improvement, and the fan base would be super excited over that. Got a lot of new faces on that team, including the coaching staff. And Dennis Allen was asked, hey, man, what the difficulty on facing a team, not only with new players on the field, but also new coaches?
I think it's a challenge. You know, obviously, from a defensive standpoint, the defensive staff is there, and so you kind of know what the structure is going to be. And yet, they got a couple of new pieces, so we don't know what adjustments, you know, they're going to make or what's going to be different than maybe what we saw last year. Really, the same thing offensively. You know, we had a chance to go up against Canales a couple of times last year, and so I think from a schematic standpoint, we have an idea of kind of what they, you know, what the system is like. And yet with a different quarterback, I don't know, you know, how they're going to, you know, want to utilize him. I have my thoughts, but, you know, again, as it is with everything, when you get into the first game of the season, you know, I just think it's the team that's able to adjust the best that's going to have the most success, because, you know, everybody's going to have something that you haven't seen yet. And so I think that'll be the challenge for us is finding out what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack us in all three phases, and then being able to adjust when we need to.
That's a look at the Carolina Panthers as the Saints get ready for them on Sunday. Now we're going to talk more about the black and gold with the head coach. So how's D.A. feeling about his defensive scheme since he started out? Has much changed in his defensive outlook since he first came into the league?
I'd say it's evolved significantly from, you know, when I started calling it back in 2015. You know, but that evolution doesn't take place, you know, over the course of, you know, a year or 2 years. It really kind of takes place over the course of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, and things kind of change. And you can't become stagnant in anything that you do. You have to always be looking to improve. And so there's always things that we're looking at how maybe we can do, you know, some things better. I would say philosophically, nothing's changed. Schematically, a few things.
Looking at that defense from just last year, scoring defense, 19.3 points per game. That definitely was a strength of the black and gold. The weakness was lack of sack numbers, and we've seen them address that by adding, you know, to that D line. And I think that, you know, Carl Granderson is, you know, been a player we've seen growing steadily while with this organization. Hopefully Cam Jordan can get back to being the guy that we're used to seeing, and that Father Time hasn't caught up to him, and he's still got another season or two left where those sack numbers can get back up. But I know a lot of folks obviously looking forward to seeing what Chase Young can provide, a guy that's been, you know, a little bit nicked up during his career, which has hampered his development. But man, oh man, like the Cajun Cannon loves to say, when he's well, he is hell on the field. And definitely looking forward to, you know, seeing what Young can bring to this pass rush. We obviously saw a little taste of him in the preseason, but that's not the real deal, which will be Sunday, obviously, against Carolina. Well, Dennis Allen, more on his defense. How would he describe a Dennis Allen defense to somebody?
We're going to play hard. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. We're not into the business of gimmies. You know, so we're going to try to challenge everything as much as we can, and we're going to play smart, you know, and I think we've done that. And we're not always perfect. There's sometimes we do a better job of it than others, and that's why, you know, the evaluation process of what you are, whether as a player, as a coach, as a unit, you know, it's not a one-game evaluation. It's what are you over the course of the season, and then what are you over the course of your – you know, career. And I think just the fact that we're gonna play tough, we're gonna play physical, we're gonna play with great effort, and we're gonna challenge everything, and we're gonna play situationally smart defense. And that's what we believe in.
That's one thing nobody can argue about. Whatever you feel like about Dennis Allen, the guy knows defense. Obviously, I know that regular season record of his is brought up constantly by Saints fans, 24-46 overall. That obviously includes his head coaching stint with the Raiders. Coming here, though, we've seen gradual improvement for this squad. And I know we're all spoiled by the Sean Payton years and the consistent playoff berths. Obviously, there was some downtime, those back-to-back-to-back 7-9 seasons under Sean. But, you know, now we've been starved of the playoffs the last 3 years for this black and gold squad and trying to get back there. And hopefully DA can get that ascent. We've seen a 7-win season for him year one, 9 wins last year, so a gradual improvement. I'm sure everybody would be jumping for joy over 10 wins, winning the NFC South and heading to the playoffs, and hopefully, you know, making some noise there. But anything less than I don't even know if even a 9-win season would make folks happy. It's a difficult slate later on. We've gotten into the schedule before. Obviously, Panthers, you would think, is a must win for this team to prove that you are a different squad than you were a year ago. You're not a pretender in everybody's eyes. I know not that many people are thinking much of this Saints squad heading into this season, but after that Panthers game, things get tight. You got to play the Cowboys, the Eagles, another division rival, and the Falcons. Then you go at the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night and then come back home for the Buccaneers. So that early slate of games, you know, you could easily see themselves digging a hole into, which would be so, you know, disappointing, obviously. But, you know, digging your way out, we've seen them do it before. You just don't want to go through it again. Hoping they can get off to that faster start. And that faster start includes in games. We've seen this team come out the gates, and it just seems offensively and defensively haven't had that punch to them early on in starts. Hear the music playing me out, so we'll take a break, get more on the 6 o'clock hour as we close things out here, as we get ready to talk to Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, in the 7 o'clock hour. But we'll be back with more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking about Saints versus Carolina Panthers Sunday in the Caesars Superdome. Well, game days here on WWL start early, 8 a.m. First up is First Take with me and Jeff Nowak while you fuel up for the game. Then at 10 o'clock, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, inside the dome, Loge Level, Gate B Atrium. That's presented by our good buddy Craig at Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Kickoff high noon with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak. You know the tradition, folks. Turn down those TVs and listen to Deuce and Haas with the local call. Then after the game, you got to sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. We've got 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints football for you. That starts Sunday, 8 a.m. here on WWL, Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and of course on the free Odyssey app. Looking at the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line real quick. Texter telling me the Saints just need to make the playoffs. The record isn't important. And Cullen, that's something that basically you pretty much said to me too. I don't care how you get there.
Yeah.
Just get in.
The bar is set there. It doesn't really matter if you're a 7-10 team, which again, I'll do it during the news break, but see if that's even possible recent years to make the playoffs as a 7-10 team. 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. If you make one of those and somehow get into the playoffs, that's all you need.
We'll be back next hour talking about more Saints football with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. He'll let us know the latest and greatest from practice. He was there today. Also check in on that injury update on the black and gold. Plus, Derek Carr spoke in the locker room. We'll get a little tidbit of what he had to say and more from Dennis Allen when we return right here on WWL Saints Radio after the news break. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking about Saints versus Carolina Panthers Sunday in the Caesar Superdome. Game days here on WWL start early, 8 a.m. First up is First Take with me and Jeff Nowak while you fuel up for the game. Then at 10 o'clock, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert inside the dome, Loge Level, Gate B Atrium. That's presented by our good buddy Craig at Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Kickoff high noon with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak. You know the tradition, folks. Turn down those TVs and listen to Deuce and Haas with the local call. Then after the game, you got to sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. We've got 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints football for you. That starts Sunday, 8 a.m. here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and, of course, on the free Odyssey app. Looking at the Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line real quick. Texter telling me, the Saints just need to make the playoffs. The record isn't important. And, Cullen, that's something that basically you pretty much said to me, too. I don't care how you get there.
Yeah.
Just get in.
The bar is set there. It doesn't really matter if you're a 7-10 team, which, again, I'll do it during the news break, but see if that's even possible recent years to make the playoffs as a 7-10 team. 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. If you make one of those and somehow get into the playoffs, that's all you need.
We'll be back next hour talking about more Saints football with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. He'll let us know the latest and greatest from practice. He was there today. Also check in on that injury update on the black and gold. Plus, Derek Carr spoke in the locker room. We'll get a little tidbit of what he had to say and more from Dennis Allen when we return right here on WWL Saints Radio after the news break.